So this evening, we want to share a tradition that our family has done for a number of years. Some of you may remember it if you've worshipped with us together on Christmas Eve in the past. So throughout the sanctuary this evening, we have some different people going to share elements and parts of the first Christmas story. You'll see these boxes up here. And really, as you look at the story itself, it asks the question, what does God want for Christmas? And so we're going to maybe hear some different parts of the Christmas story as we begin tonight. And so if you are one of our readers, as soon as your box is up, come up here to the mic, open your box, and place your character on the nativity scene there as we begin. Let me start tonight by sharing the beginning of our story. 'Twas the week before Christmas, and nobody knew. No stockings, no ornaments, no gift or good news. All the people had lost hope. All the people felt fear. Now listen, I'll tell you why Christmas came here.
Has your heart ever had a big secret to share? A surprise no one knew that you planned with much care? Did it tickle your tummy? Were you so excited? God, too, has a mystery, and we're each invited. From long, long ago, our God knew what we'd need. In the Garden of Eden, he planted the seed. Like a scavenger hunt, he left hints through the years how to find his great gift, who was soon to be here. Mighty God chose this day from before time began to reveal his Messiah, Redeemer of man. My announcement delivered, my mission complete. I dashed back to heaven to await my next feat. God's astonishing love gave us all such a treasure. That first Christmas gift was of worth beyond measure. Gabriel answered God's call, felt his good heart. When God invites you, will you bring him your heart?
We whispered and giggled, my girlfriends and me, as we talked about marriage and husbands-to-be. I am married, betrothed, as my parents instructed, but all of their dreams were to be interrupted. Just a young Jewish girl, I was jolted with fright when an angel burst forth, quite dazzling and bright. Hello, chosen one, the Most High is with you. My God has a plan, here is what he will do. He told me my future, that I have a son, who would be Prince of Peace, the long-prophesied one. The High King forever, he'll reign without end. An astounding decree I could not comprehend. When able to speak, just one question I asked. How can this truly be, this impossible task? I'm a virgin, unmarried. I'm not yet a bride. But all things are possible with God, he replied. The Almighty will form this rare miracle in you. There's nothing his limitless power can't do. Then Gabriel vanished like a candle snuffed out. Though still awed by his words, I believe without doubt. Favored Mary was astonished to carry God's treasure. That first Christmas gift was of worth beyond measure. So pleased God would use her, she welcomed her part. Will you be like Mary and say yes from your heart?
I'm a carpenter named Joseph, and I was confused when I talked to my Mary and heard her strange news. So kindly, God sent a good angel to speak, to me in my dreams as I lay fast asleep. Don't worry, he said, 'tis God's will for your life. Take Mary with baby inside her as wife. His name must be Jesus, his people he'll save. He's Emmanuel, God with us, and he now be brave. Quite startled, I awoke. Then I did as commanded, took Mary as wife, knowing we were not stranded. God's plans are prepared. He knows each step ahead. From the dawning of time, he has never misled. Be a father to God's son, I could not envision. And to raise this pure lamb will bring complex decisions. Show him carpentry, yes, but what will I teach? This child made the world, every cliff, hill, and beach. Astonishing, thought Joseph, to guard such a treasure. That first Christmas gift was of worth beyond measure. Still Joseph obeyed, through perplexed by his heart. Will you be like him and trust God with your heart?
We must count all the people the king has decreed. So Joseph and Mary packed bags with great speed, long days on a donkey, and gave birth. We wish to stop bouncing over hard the steep earth. In Bethlehem, they found no spare rooms are requested. Then God showed a place they had never expected, a stable with animals housed them that night. The heavens watched and wondered, would they be all right? Mary labored for hours, then a baby's sweet cry, God promise, came true. For his words cannot lie, because God is love. He sent Jesus to dwell, disguised as an infant, divine in each cell. Swaddled tightly in flesh, his name, Eternal Father, created for galaxies, here as our brother, this Jesus, our Savior, born in a cow's sow. From heaven on high, he brought hope to us all. This astonishing babe contained all of God's treasure. That first Christmas gift was of worth beyond measure. Even Jesus obeyed when he came in to impart his whole life for you. Will you believe in your heart?
As shepherds, our job is to watch over sheep. Using staffs shaped like candy canes, we lead them to sleep. We face wild creatures that roar, hiss, and fight. But tonight, something new shocked this shepherd boy's sight. Ablaze and majestic and out of thin air, stood an angel before me that gave quite a scare. With robes white as snow, his eyes bright as flame, the celestial one spoke, but did not say his name. I bring tidings for all, the grand messenger stated. A savior was born here, the one long awaited. In a Bethlehem barn, you will find this new boy. His words were like music, and my heart filled with joy. Then suddenly, angels were filling the sky, singing glory to God, to the one who's most high. The angelic choir ceased. They all rose up above. To this village we ran, seeking God's gift of love. Overcome with amazement, we worshipped in prayer. Then the new parents asked us how we found them there. The story we told brought them both peace of mind, as together we adored him who would save all mankind. Astonished were the shepherds by their touch with God's treasure. That first gift, Christmas gift, was of worth beyond measure. In racing to Jesus, these boys were the start. Will you run to him and love God from your heart?
Enlightened with knowledge, through magi or wise, alert for discovery, we studied our skies. Well known were the rumors of a coming king's birth. We searched for clear signs that he'd come to the earth. From our far eastern places, we spied his new star. To this king we must journey, no matter how far. Over rough mountain tops, our bold caravan went west, riding camels toward Zion on this epic quest. At last in Jerusalem, our presence made news. In unique clothes and hats, in our strange road shoes. But how odd, no one knew of this great king foretold. Might the Roman high have facts he controlled? You'll find him in Bethlehem, sly Herod then said. But he gave no directions, now which way ahead. Then wonder of wonders, the star reappeared. Unheard of, it moved. With pure joy, we all cheered. Our eagerness grew with the star as our guide, till it stopped at a home, little Jesus inside. With delight, we gave gifts to this boy, Emmanuel, and left forever changed by our king here to dwell. The wise men were astonished to discover God's treasures. That first Christmas gift was of worth beyond measure. By faith, did it travel with gifts of rich heart. This Christmas and forever, will you give him your heart?
Time now is here. Will you open God's present? For you are the reason Emmanuel was sent. The gift of your heart is what God desires most. When you give him your life, angels in heaven, choirs sing most. Saying yes to God's gift is the hope of Christmas Eve. For God throws all your sins in the depths of the sea. He forgives you when you're wrong, and he never keeps score. You become one of God's own children to belong evermore. Like a butterfly emerging from a dark, tight cocoon, you were born to new life from death now immune. To be born again means to be that your stained heart is made new. God's power is yours to know right and what's true. But God doesn't promise clear skies always blue. Instead, he has promised to never leave you. He will never disown or walk from you away. God rules earth from heaven. He'll come back one day. A wondrous occasion was the first Christmas day. All worshiped King Jesus asleep on the hay. The shepherds and angels and wise men came near, showing how to adore the King year after year. It's astonishing that Jesus gave us all his treasure. Making your heart his home brings you riches beyond measure. In December, we honor God's great work of art. What God wants for Christmas most is all of your heart. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift that you gave to us in Jesus. God, as we read and we hear the different elements of that very first Christmas, God, we see examples of faith. We see examples of perseverance, of love, and of dedication. But most of all, we see the provision that you gave for us through your Son. God, the verse we know so well, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in you will never perish. God, we thank you that that's what we celebrate tonight. God, as we remember the birth of your Son, Jesus, God, we remember the gift that you gave to us through his blood and the life you promised us through his resurrection. We love you, and we thank you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want to share a brief word with you this evening. out of Luke chapter 2. Now, I'm just curious, as we get started, how many of you like to wait? Do any of you like to wait? I can't see your hands, so you're going to have to speak up. Do any of you like to wait? Particularly since I was reminded that tonight the glare of my bald head shines brighter than every other evening. You know, one of the things that I think we live in a culture, it was described at one point in time to be as a microwave society. You know, most of us don't even like to wait for our dinner to be prepared. We prepare things instantaneously. If it takes too long, what happens? You get shot if you... I don't know that story, apparently. Some of you are tired of waiting already. You're like, come on, just light the candles, let's go home. But in Luke chapter 2, we see a story of a few individuals who waited. They waited for years, patiently looking towards the promise of what God had said. Generations had passed, and people had prophesied and shared these truths. Some of you may remember a few of these stories, but as a child, I remember waiting was very difficult for me. Now, how many of you remember that that tension that night before Christmas, waiting to get up in the morning to see what was underneath the tree? You guys remember that? Yeah. Some of you are excited about what's going to come tomorrow morning. So I want to read some stories. These were written in the New York Times a number of years ago. These were letters written to Santa. Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you. But if you're really hungry, you can use our phone and order a pizza if you'd like. Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time, but sometimes I'm wild. This one was written by a four-year-old. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. Last, dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot, but here's my list. The Etch-A-Sketch Animator, two packs of number two pencils, Crayola fat markers, and the big gift, my own color TV. Well, maybe you could drop the pencils. I don't want to be really selfish. Now, as a child, we can remember Christmas is often associated with waiting. And this Christmas season, I think for many of us, there's been a lot of anticipation, a lot of wonder and curiosity. Now, the very first Christmas story comes out of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We all know the background of what occurred in the days that preceded the birth of Jesus. We're going to look in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to look at two unique characters that sometimes don't get a lot of attention in the Christmas story. One man named Simeon and another woman named Anna. Let me read Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, in those days when there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the story we read tonight is a story of great anticipation, a story that people had waited and heard and had been prophesied for decades and generations before. But I want to begin by asking you a simple question. What are you waiting for? Maybe during Christmas, there's anticipation for people coming to your home. There's anticipation about maybe that shirt doesn't fit. There's all kinds of things that we can wait for, that we can worry about, that can create frustration and anxiety and difficulty in our lives. But what are we truly longing for during this season? You know, one of the questions that we ask children, and I'm probably just as guilty of it as anybody else. In fact, I've done it a couple of times today. Is we ask the kid, what did you ask for Christmas? Maybe your parents still ask you what you want for Christmas, or maybe you ask your children what you want for Christmas. But this nativity scene that we shared together tonight was ultimately a picture of what it is that we should each desire. the peace that's represented, the reminder of hope that is provided, and ultimately the gift of life shared to us through Christ. The two individuals I want us to look a little bit deeper at tonight really are two characters that much of the time as we read the Christmas narrative, we just kind of keep moving. We know the story of the shepherds. We know the story of the wise men. But then we look at a man named Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it tells us that Simeon was a man. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. You see, Simeon was waiting for comfort. In these days, in these age, we read through the history of what happened that very first Christmas, and we know that ultimately, when we read at the beginning of the story, that there was a census being taken. Well, Simeon, if you can imagine, was part of the old folk. He represented what Israel was, but now it was underneath the authority and power of the Roman government. Ultimately, there had been things removed and taken away from their culture and their heritage. Simeon was waiting for a promise that had been shared generations before. He was waiting for comfort. He was waiting for peace. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 2 says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. You see, Simeon was focused on the Messiah. The Messiah as the comforter. The Messiah as the provider of true life. Now, you know, in the midst of this story, we know that shepherds came that night. Most believe that the wise men came some years later. But Simeon entered into the story at a unique time when Jesus was brought to the temple for circumcision. And when Simeon, prompted by the Holy Spirit, entered into the temple, at the right time, in the right place, he encountered Mary and Joseph. At this point, about 6 weeks old. Here this child was to be named Emmanuel, God with us. We know the rest of the story as we read in verse 28 of Luke chapter 2. It says, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to your people Israel. You see, that's the hope that we celebrate tonight. That's what we wait for each and every moment. As we encounter Christ, we know that we experience salvation. And that's the gift of Christmas. The second person I want us to look at very briefly tonight is a woman named Anna. Now, Anna really probably gets even less attention than Simeon does. But Anna was a very devout character in the midst of this biblical story. Ultimately, she would have been the one who had spent and dedicated her entire life to reading her Bible, to studying God's Word, to looking towards the promise and the prophecy of what was to come. Look in verse 36 of Luke chapter 2. There was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, serving God night and day and fasting and prayer. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak to him about all those who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. You see, a few key things I want us to understand tonight. Maybe some action steps as we move forward. Simeon and Anna encountered Jesus, and through that, they understood that Jesus provided what they needed. Now, there's a difference between want and need, isn't there? Maybe as we've grown up, as we've matured, we've discovered there's a difference between really needing something and just kind of wanting. Jesus provides for us what we truly need. Maybe often things that we don't even anticipate in our own lives. So what does that mean for us? How do we move forward? How do we take this Christmas story and build it into our lives this Christmas Eve? First of all, I believe it means that we should become a marveler. Now, to be a marveler is someone who turns their entire attention in wonder, astonishment, and surprise. You heard in the story, as was shared a few moments ago, about the shepherds, about the Magi, about Mary and Joseph. It tells us that they were marvelers. They were astonished at what they heard and what they saw. Church, hear me when I say this. When we encounter Jesus, there is nothing left to do but marvel. When we understand, when we know what he has done for us, not just giving us his life, but raising again on the third day, we know what life truly is. Secondly, we find from Anna and from Simeon that we are to become a mover. But it's not a stationary thing. That for us as believers, we, as we saw it in Anna and Simeon's case, it says, moved by the Holy Spirit. To be sensitive to what God has called us to do. To look towards what he has commanded us. We see in Luke chapter 2, verse 38, that Mary herself was moved. We see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, that Joseph was moved. We see in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, that the shepherds were moved. You see, for us, our faith should move us to action. And in that, we become messengers. You see, Christmas isn't just about the gifts. It's not just about the meals. It's about the hope that we have in Christ. Sharing that truth with those around us is what is most important. If you know someone this Christmas season that has never received that gift, let me encourage you, challenge you to share that with them. Maybe this Christmas season, you've never received that gift. There's no greater time to make that decision to receive. I want to share one final story with us this evening. If you've been with me for any amount of time, you've probably heard this story. But it's a story, I think, that depicts the importance of what God did for us that very first Christmas. It's a story entitled, Whoever Takes the Son. Many years ago, there was a very wealthy man who shared a passion for art collecting with his son. They had priceless works of art by Picasso and Van Gogh adorning the walls of their family estate. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His son had died. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season had vanished from the death of his son. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. As he walked to the door, the masterpieces of art on the wall only reminded him that his son was not coming home. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand and said, "I was a friend of your son's, and I was the one who was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." The soldier motioned that he was an artist and then gave the old man the package. The paper gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it a work of genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the old man hung the portrait over the fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of art. His task completed, the old man sat in his chair and spent Christmas gazing at the gift that he had been given. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession, far eclipsed any interest in this piece of art for which museums around the world clamored. The following spring, the old man died. The art world waited with anticipation for the upcoming auction. According to the will of the old man, all the art would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he received his greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled that day. The auction began with a painting that not anyone in the museum list would offer. It was a painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. "Who will bid for the $100? And no one spoke. Finally, someone said, who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on to the good stuff. The auctioneer responded, no, we have to sell this one first. Now, who will take the son? Finally, a neighbor of the old man offered $10. That's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have him. The auctioneer said, going once, going twice, going. And the gavel fell. Tears filled the room, and someone exclaimed, now we can bid on the real treasure. The auctioneer looked at the room filled with people and announced that the auction was over. Everyone was stunned. And someone spoke up and said, what do you mean it's over? We didn't come for a painting of someone's son. There are millions of dollars worth of art here. What is going on? The auctioneer replied, it's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you that you gave us your son. Out of all the possessions and things that we could have in this world, all of them pale in comparison to what you did for us on that very first Christmas. You sent your son to bear our sins, to take our penalty, to die our death, and then you defeated sin and gave us life. God, we pray this Christmas season, God, that we would take your son. And no matter what we carry, you know our burdens. No matter what our hardship is, you understand. God, I pray during this Christmas season that we would not just turn and look towards the things that maybe we've been waiting for, but we would turn and see your truth. That we would receive your son, and that we would share that gift with others. God, we thank you tonight as we celebrate together with friends and family that in the midst of the darkness that surrounded the world, you shone light through your son Jesus that very first Christmas night. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.